I really sense the presence of the Lord this afternoon, and just so grateful for the Lord's presence. And sometimes when we have awesome moments of anointed worship like this, I really have to step out in faith, because I just don't want to get up and mess it up. Amen. God is good, isn't He? And the Lord is here. And His strength is here, and His help is here, and just love. I love the Lord, and just so grateful for who He is in my life. And again, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come and just share with you the word of the Lord, and just speak to you what I feel like the Lord would say to us at this moment in our walk with God. So thank you so much, pastors, and thank you so much, congregation of Times Square Church, and I love you, and I love the Word of God, and just believe in the Lord has something to say. Amen? Amen. I'm going to talk to you about, she came when it was dark. She came when it was dark. Go with me to the book of John, chapter 20. We're going to read verse 1 and 2, and we're going to go to verse 11. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark." I really want to stress that. Mary Magdalene, she came early when it was dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him." Go with me to verse 11. "But Mary stood without the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou?' She said unto them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him.' And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, 'Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Mary.' She turned herself and said unto him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Master.'" Let's pray. Father, I just pray that the truths that I speak this afternoon, you would just place your hand upon it, your weight upon it. And Lord, it would go deep into hearts today, Lord. And Father, I pray that people would walk out of here encouraged and strengthened in the name of our God, which is El Shaddai, or the Almighty God. Lord, nothing is impossible for you, Lord. And I just pray that you would strengthen our hearts just to continue and wait upon those things that you've spoken in our life, Lord, with a hope and a confidence, God. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the power and the strength of your word. God, I just think about Peter. Lord, it was your word that caused him to stand in strengthless places. You spoke your word and said, "Come," and he stepped out upon the strength of your word and walked upon the water. And I thank you for the strength that's in your word, God. Lord, we love you, and we just give you glory and honor, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 1 tells us that Mary Magdalene started toward the tomb when it was dark, that there was a pressing in her heart. She couldn't wait until morning light, that there was just something that pressed upon her heart that said, I have to arise now, and I have to go to the tomb now, even though it's dark. That there was just the pressing in her heart to get to the body of the one that she loved so much and to anoint his body. So it's very probable that she lit a candle or she lit a torch and she began to move toward the tomb. And I just want to get to the very heart of the message. And I just want to say that this darkness represents those seasons in our life where the promises of God just seem to be cloaked behind darkness. That it represents those seasons in our life where the promises of God just seem to be buried behind an incredible and deep darkness. That God has spoken promises to our heart. And when he spoken those promises to our heart, there was such a light, there was such a hope in those promises. But now those promises they're so hard to see and even so much harder to believe because of this incredible darkness that has enveloped the promises of God. And when I think about Mary, I think about disappointment. You know, all of her hope was in Jesus. Jesus had become her very future. All of her desires were in Jesus. And suddenly he's been crucified and he's been placed in a tomb. And I can just imagine the incredible grief and the disappointment that was in her heart. And beloved, maybe there are people here today, this afternoon, and God has spoken incredible promises to your heart over your life. Maybe there are places of barrenness in our life where we feel so barren, and yet the Lord has promised an incredible life to fill these places of barrenness. And maybe there's just places of captivity in our life where God has promised great spiritual freedom. And maybe there are even promises that God has spoken to us about other people, people that we love, people that are so dear to our heart, like our sons and our daughters, and just the things that God wants to do in their life. And yet time keeps passing, time keeps going on, and the barren places in our life have never felt so full of death. The places of captivity in our life has never felt so strong and powerful. The promises that God have made toward people that we love, these people, they've never been in such a place of darkness. And I believe with all my heart, there are some people here that if we were to be truthful with our hearts, we would say, I've never been so disappointed in the promises of God than I am today. You know, just incredible promises God has given me. And now suddenly these promises are in such a place of impossibility and darkness. And I just really feel a disappointment in my heart in the promises of the Lord. But beloved, here is the heart of what God is saying today. Even though all looks dark, even though all looks covered by darkness, in the midst of that darkness, there is still an empty tomb that declares Jesus is victor. There's still an empty tomb that declares Jesus is Lord over the darkness. Beloved, the empty tomb is a declaration to God's people that declares, with God, nothing is impossible. And if I can triumph over death in the grave, then I can triumph over everything that's going on in your life. Now, I want us to notice something in verse 1. Look with me at John chapter 20, verse 1. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb. So verse 1 says that when Mary came to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. And beloved, the stone represents two things. First of all, the stone represents obstacles that look so immovable. You know, I know it had to be pressing on Mary's heart as she's journeying through the darkness to get to the tomb. It had to be pressing on her heart, you know, when I get to the tomb, who's going to move the stone for me? You know, when I finally get to the tomb, where am I going to find the strength to move the stone? But beloved, when she got to the tomb, the stone was actually rolled away. And you know, sometimes we can become so despairing when we think about the obstacles that stand between us and the promises of God. But today Christ is telling us, I'm more than able to roll the obstacles away. You have to continue to wait in faith and in hope, no matter the hugeness of the obstacle, or no matter how dark the darkness is, you have to continue to wait in the place of hope. And beloved, here's what we have to understand. It's in our darkest places. It's in those places where everything seems so hopeless that the Holy Spirit trains us to wait in places of hope. It's in our darkest places that the Holy Spirit works something so deep in our lives and empowers us that no matter how dark and hopeless all appears, I'm not going to allow my heart to be overpowered by the darkness, but I'm going to be strong in hope, waiting on the Lord in hope. And let me just ask this question. You know, in the dark places, why is it in the dark places that the Holy Spirit has to train us and empower us to wait in hope? Because so often God's most glorious work is achieved in the most dark places. Because some of times the Lord's most glorious work is achieved in some of the most hopeless places. Places where darkness is so deep, it's absolutely impossible for human strength to rise up above the despair. And so Joseph will always have to learn to wait in hope in Pharaoh's prison cells. David's will always have to learn to wait in hope in dark, lonely, isolated caves. Job's will always have to learn to wait in hope in the piles of great personal loss, places where human strength can never find the strength to rise up over the darkness and despair. These are the places that the Holy Spirit comes and he works the power and strength of hope in our hearts. And it's because the Josephs have learned to wait and hope in Pharaoh's prison cells that they become the only people in all the earth gloriously empowered with storehouses of life when the rest of the world sits in places of death. Amen. Amen. The Josephs are always going to have to learn how to wait in hope in Pharaoh's prison cells. But it's because God has a storehouse that has the power to feed starving nations and starving people. Amen. So we see, first of all, the stone represents immovable obstacles. Secondly, we see the stone represents what I call the world's final word. I call this stone the world's final word. You see, when Jesus was crucified, they placed his body in a tomb and they rolled that stone over the tomb. And beloved, I want you to picture it with me in your mind. Here you have men binding their strength together, pushing that stone and rolling that stone. And when that stone finally sank into the earth and fell into the mouth of that tomb and completely covered that tomb, when that stone sank into place, it covered everything. There was not a nook, there was not a pinhole that it didn't cover. And beloved, here's what I want us to capture. When that heavy stone rolled over the mouth of the tomb and sank into the earth, it was the voice of finality. It was the voice that said, it's over, it's done, it's ended. It was the pronouncement of finality. When that stone dropped into the earth and collapsed into the mouth of the tomb, it was the voice echoing through the ages, this is the end of the matter. And beloved, this great stone also said something else. It said, this is where it stops. There's nowhere else to go from here. You disciples that have followed Jesus, the only thing left for you to do is to try to get over your sorrow and disappointment and move on with your life. There's nowhere else to go beyond this tomb. You can live the rest of your life centered on this tomb, grieving over the tomb, looking at the tomb, moping over the tomb. But if you are wise, you will try to get over the pain and the disappointment and get on with your life. And can I say that this is always the mindset of the world? It's always the mindset of the world. You see, this is truly the world's mindset because it's taken God out of the picture. Listen, if there is no God, then there are no miracles. If there is no God, then there's no way to make the absolute impossible possible. If there is no God, there's no way to make the absolute hopeless hopeful. So the best the world can do is tell you it's over. It's done. There's no place to go from here. The best you can do is try to get over it and move on with your life. Beloved, I want to tell you, every time the world tells you it's over, that's the voice of the stone speaking. And every time the world tells you there's nowhere you can go from here, that's the voice of the stone speaking. And every time the world tells you the best you can do is try to get over it and move on, that is the voice of the stone speaking. They are just echoing that moment when the stone sank into the earth and sealed the tomb and said, this is final. But the good news is, but the heavenly news is, the stone was rolled away and the tomb is empty because there is a God who can perform miracles. There is a God that can turn impossibility into possibility. And there is a God that can vanquish hopelessness with hope. And ultimately, the empty tomb tells us that what the world declares to be final isn't final. What the world declares to be over isn't over. What the world declares to be the last word isn't the last word. What the world declares to be hopeless isn't hopeless. Beloved, there is a greater voice than the voice that says it's final, there's nowhere to go from here, and that's the voice of the empty tomb. It's a greater voice. Amen. Can I just tell you, from the very beginning, the world has always been pronouncing finality over the people of God. Amen. Listen, do you know what the Red Sea pronounced to the people of God? There's nowhere to go from here. Do you know what the walls of Jericho pronounced to the people of God? There's nowhere to go from here. Do you know what Babylonian captivity pronounced to the people of God? There's nowhere to go from here. Do you know what Haman's gallows pronounced to the people of God? There's nowhere to go from here. And they would have been right if there had been no God. But because there is a God who dwells with his people, miracles happen, the supernatural happened, the impossible happened, and God's word was the final word in their lives. Not the stone.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I remember hearing Nicky Cruz share one time that before he got saved, just a few weeks before he got saved, he had to be evaluated by someone with special training. And after they evaluated him, what they wrote on the report is this: change is impossible. He's always going to be a danger to society. Beloved, if there had been no God, I'm sure that was the case. If there had been no God, I'm sure Nicky was destined to spend prison in the rest of his life. But the good news is, there is a God, and there are miracles, and change is possible, no matter how impossible. And there is an empty tomb that declares the world's word is not the final voice in your life. But my resurrection life is the final voice in your life. My overcoming life is the final voice in your life. My word is the final voice in your life. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. Beloved, let me say it again. No matter what darkness has cloaked your promise, there is still an empty tomb that declares Jesus is victor. The empty tomb is so much greater than the darkness. And when the sun rises and the darkness dissipates, his victory and his promises will be the final word in your life. Amen. Now, let me just show you where so many of God's people are at in regards to promises that God has spoken to their heart. Look with me at verse 2. Then Mary runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Now, I really want to emphasize, it says, she said unto them, they have taken away the Lord. And I really want to emphasize that. Let me say it again. She said, they have taken away the Lord. In other words, Mary just couldn't get past the realm of human strength. She is saying, it's human strength that removed the Lord's body. It's human strength that carried the Lord's body away. There's nothing supernatural involved at all. Resurrection life has nothing to do with this at all. Jesus wasn't resurrected. Human strength just removed his dead body, and somewhere he's still dead. That's what she's saying. She just can't move the miracle past human strength and find the strength in her own heart to believe. And let me tell you why she couldn't rise above human strength. It's because Mary was there when they crucified Jesus. She was there when they nailed his hands to the cross. She was there when they planted the crown of thorns on her head. In other words, she was there to see the whole bloody mess. She was there to see it. She saw the ugliness of it all. She saw the bloodiness of it all. She saw the goriness of it all. And when she saw it, something came into her heart that said, I know Jesus promised me he would rise again in 3 days, but who can overcome this? Who can triumph over this? Who can conquer this? And maybe you're here today, and your promise doesn't look like a promise at all. In fact, it's really turned into, can I just say it? It's really turned into an ugly, bloody mess. You know, there are circumstances going on in your life, and you said, I just knew I had a promise from God that he's come in and he's intervened here, but now it's turned into nothing but an ugly mess. And maybe there are people that you've been praying for and hoping and believing God for. Lord, I got a promise and I'm hoping for them. But yet, when you look at their life, there's nothing really beautiful that you see. I mean, you really see the ugliness of it all. And when reality is staring you in the face, sometimes it can be hard to rise above human strength and believe for the impossible. But beloved, what Jesus is saying today is this. If I can rise above the ugliness and goriness of crucified flesh on a cross and bring something of beauty, life, and glory, then you can rise above the strength of the flesh and believe that no matter how ugly things may appear, I can raise it from the dead in glorious resurrection life. Jesus heard him say a few times, I'm going to be crucified. They're going to nail me to a cross, but I'm going to rise again the third day. And she probably said, I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. But when reality was suddenly staring her in the face, and she saw the bloodiness of it all and saw the goriness of it all, there was something in her heart that just said, who can overcome this? And I'm telling you, there are just times we can look at promises. They don't look like promises at all. In fact, you know what? They look like one ugly mess. But the Lord is saying, if I can overcome crucified flesh and bring something beautiful out of it, then I can go to your ugly promises and your ugly places, and I can bring something of life and glory out of them. know, sometimes promises have to become very ugly before we can see the beauty. But the Lord is saying, no matter how ugly things may appear, if I can conquer the death and the grave, I can conquer everything. Amen. Now let's ask the question. Do we see the faithfulness of God in Mary's life while she is surrounded by darkness? Do we see the faithfulness of God in Mary's life before she makes it to the tomb and discovers resurrection life? Do we see the faithfulness of God while she's making that journey through incredible darkness? Beloved, here's what we have to understand. It was so dark, Mary had to light a candle to get to the tomb. In other words, she had just enough light to see. She had just enough light to take one step at a time. She had just enough light to press through the darkness moment by moment. And maybe you're here today and you feel like you have just enough strength to press through your weakness. You feel like you have just enough strength to take one more step. But beloved, I want you to understand, this is God's faithfulness in your life. This is His strength being glorified in your weakness. This is His strength carrying you into places your strength can never go, one step at a time. And you will make it to that place where your promise is suddenly infused with resurrection life. That place of barrenness will spring up with life. Those present doors will open and you will walk in supernatural victory. That son or daughter bound in homosexuality will be saved and their lives will be a testimony of God's saving grace. Beloved, it's in your weakness. God's strength is carrying you and it will carry you to that final place of life and victory in the promises of God. Amen. Now I want to end with this. Maybe there are people here today and you're thinking in your heart, Pastor Tim, I feel like it's my fault. I feel like it's because of my sin. I feel like it's because of my failure that the promises of God are still sitting in darkness. It's because of my failure that the promises of God haven't been fulfilled, and they won't be fulfilled. How can I continue to hope in the promises of God when my failure is continually before my face? Beloved, if you're feeling that way today, I have a word for you from the Lord. I want you to look with me at verse 11 and 12. Says, but Mary stood without at the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. So the Bible tells us that when Mary looked into the tomb, she saw one angel sitting where Jesus' head had been. And she saw one angel sitting where his feet had been. Beloved, I want to ask you a question. What is this a picture of? What is it a picture of? Let me tell you what it's a picture of. It is a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. Two angel beings at each end looking down over the mercy seat. Two angelic beings looking upon the mercy seat. And it speaks a great truth to us. Seeing Christ's power to bring life and freedom into our places of captivity and death isn't dependent upon our merit or our efforts. It comes out of His mercy. It's simply because He loves us and His mercy towards us is as high as the heavens. That's what it depends upon. Beloved, do you know what makes God's grace so gracious? Because God calls us to hope in his mercy. In our times of failure, he speaks so graciously to our hearts. Even now, hope in my mercy. When sin and failure is staring you in the face, even now believe that my blood can cleanse you, and even now believe that my mighty power is moving and performing every promise I have written in your heart and over life. Even now, believe. Even now, hope in my mercy. In your place of greatest failure, even now, believe that my blood has the power to cleanse you, and that the promises I've written over your life and written over your heart, they are still yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And your sin and your failure hasn't forfeited what I've written over your life. Hopefully, it's just made you a little bit more humble. Amen. And grateful that my faithfulness is unfailing in your life, and my promises are unfailing in your life. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, your promises may be cloaked in darkness. Your promises may not look like a promise at all. It may look like one ugly, gory mess. But the empty tomb is here to tell each one of us that's not the final word. The final word is, I will be faithful to every promise that I made you. And even in your places of failure, you just need to hope in my mercy. My blood still has the power to cleanse you. And I will be faithful to every promise. Amen. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Stand with me this afternoon. You know, the altar call I want to give is simply this. I want to give an altar call for people who have made some really big mistakes. You've made some really big mistakes. You blew it. And you've done everything you know to do. You've got on your knees and you've repented to the Lord. You've asked forgiveness where people needed to forgive you. You've done everything you know to do to make restoration possible. But yet there's still something in your heart that says, you know what? These promises that God has spoken in my life, they're just not for me anymore. My mistake is too big. Doesn't matter how much I repent. It doesn't matter how much I humble myself and walk through the restoration process with God. There's just something in my heart that says these promises that God have made me, they're not for me anymore. But beloved, God wants to walk. Wants you to come tonight and say, Lord, I'm hoping in your mercy. God, you're the one that says that your mercies are new every morning. You are the one that said your mercies are unfailing. And God, as I just come and humble myself before you, God, I'm just asking, would you just assure my heart that everything that you promised, this destiny that you have for my life and God that you promised, the things that you want to do in my life that you promised, God, would you just please assure me they're still mine. They're still mine. That my mistake isn't bigger than the mercy of God. Beloved, if that's you, would you just come? And I would like to pray with you this afternoon. As the band plays, would you just come, please? Thank you, God. Thank you. With all of my heart, I thank you, God. Lord, where would any of us be without your mercy, God? Lord, if you was to mark transgression, who would stand in your sight, God? And Father, I pray for those that have come and are in this altar. Lord, I pray now, Lord, you would just let hope come now to the heart. You would just let the strength of hope and the power of hope now come to the heart. God, there are people in this altar and they've made some pretty big mistakes, God. And they've lived in a long season of regret. Just regret. God, I'm so regretful for what I've done. And Lord, I'm just asking now that hope would now come to the heart. They've been in this dark place of regret and guilt. But God, I'm asking now that hope would just come to the heart. You would send them out with hope. You've asked me to forgive you, and I've forgiven you. And you've asked me to walk you through a restoration process as you humble your heart. And I have done that. And I want you to know that the promises of God that I've spoken in your life, over your life, they are still for you. Everything I've spoken that I want to do in your life, I'm going to do. Everything I said I want to do through your life, I'm going to do. The promises of God are still yours. Lord, I ask that you would just now, that some of them, God, they just need to have the shackles of regret broken off of their heart, God. They beat themselves up for a long time. They lived in that dark place of regret for a long time and guilt for a long time. And now, God, it's just time to move on. It's just time to move out of that place. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would just come with such a revelation of the mercy of God and the goodness of God. And you would begin to open those prison doors of regret. You would begin to open those prison doors of guilt. And one more time, they would just walk out in freedom, just believing what God's going to do, anticipating, expecting what God is going to do in their life. Lord, let every person in this altar, God, walk out of here this afternoon, just lifting their hands and their heart, thanking you, God, for your boundless mercy. God, for your boundless mercy. God, when I didn't deserve mercy, you gave me mercy. God, you gave me great mercy. And you've rewritten your promises over my life and over my heart. And God, I'm just so thankful. God, I pray that my brothers and sisters would begin to move out of these dark places. Just so in my heart, it's time to move out of these dark places of regret, these dark places of guilt. And one more time, just begin to celebrate and rejoice in the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of His promises written over our heart and our life, God. Holy Spirit, we can't do that in our own strength. We can't move out of these dark places of regret and guilt in our own strength. But Jesus, as you have forgiven us, give us the grace to forgive ourselves and give us the grace to just begin to move on with God into everything that you have for our life. Lord, you have to do that, Holy Spirit. And I thank you, and we just give you glory and honor. Amen.